Amen. As we turn to God's word, let us turn to God in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we open your scripture on this holiest of nights, we come seeking not just words on a page, but your word made flesh for us. And so, Holy Spirit, open our ears, open our minds, open our hearts, that we might hear the word you have for us today. We pray all this in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'll let you in on sort of a little pastor's secret. Every year, we pastors often find ourselves asking, how do I preach something different on Christmas Eve? Isn't there some new spin I can put on the same old story? The best answer I've heard to that question is, just tell the story. For that's why we're here. To hear the story again, to receive and dare to believe once again the good news. We've heard it told through the prophet Isaiah, through our liturgy, and through song. Now listen to the story of God, which, thanks be to God, has become our story because of what happened on this night long ago. Listen for God's word from Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Christmas act, this Christmas story, is one act in three scenes. Tonight I want us to focus on scenes 2 and 3. The first scene tells of Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem and of Mary giving birth to Jesus. The second scene asks, Jesus is born, now what? The answer in first century Middle Eastern culture was, you had to go tell someone. A royal birth required a royal birth announcement by a herald in the palace. That's why when the wise men were looking for Jesus, they went to King Herod's palace. That's where Jesus was expected to be announced. That's where the high society people were to whom the announcement was expected to be made. But the herald didn't go to the palace. He went to a place no one expected, a place no one cared to look because no one cared about who was there. When we tell the Christmas story today, shepherds hold a place of honor. At our children's stable service 2 weeks ago, we had a dozen or so kids eager to put on shepherd's costumes. In the first century, no one was eager to be a shepherd. There was no glory in being a shepherd. It was the undesirable job of the most undesirable people. They were the lowest ranked class of citizens. The only people who ranked lower than shepherds were shepherds on the night watch. That's when predators were on the prowl and the risk of death was highest. The only people you put on duty at night were those whose lives didn't matter much in the grand scheme of things. In studying this text with a small group once, I asked, who are the shepherds of our day? Some said fast food workers, janitors, sanitation workers, restaurant dishwashers, gas station clerks. One person said police officers on the night beat. An interesting thought. While we appreciate our first responders, we sometimes take for granted those who, like these shepherds, put themselves in harm's way so that we can sleep at night. There's no glory in being a shepherd on the night watch. It was an undesirable job for the most undesirable of people, which is why it's so remarkable that the royal birth announcement began here, not in the palace, not in the temple among the religious types, but in a dark field among a bunch of shepherds. The good news isn't just that a child is born. The good news is also to whom this child is born. The good news of God's love always shows up in places we least expect and to people we least expect. Jesus is constantly going to the least likely, redrawing lines, rewriting guest lists, redeeming lost sheep and lost shepherds. Why is that good news for us? Because I imagine some of us here feel like those shepherds. You're in a dead-end job or a dead-end relationship. You feel unnoticed, unloved, like no one cares or your life doesn't make a difference. You don't fit in. And whether it's because of how someone else has judged you or how you've judged yourself, you feel unworthy. Maybe it's been a while since you've walked through the doors of a church. Maybe this is the first time you've walked through the doors. You're wondering what those around you are thinking of you, what God's thinking of you. And yet, you still showed up. There's always a good first step. Let me suggest it's not so much that you and I chose to show up today. God wanted you to show up. That little nudge or family tradition or sense of obligation, whatever it was that resulted in your being here, ultimately it's God who brought each of us here for a reason. God led each of us to show up because God wants to show up and show forth his glory for us tonight, just as he did for the shepherds. When God showed up in the fields that night, it didn't seem like a welcome thing at first. Scripture says the shepherds were terrified, and understandably so. Fear is an entirely normal reaction. If any of us had seen something extraordinary like they did, we'd probably be a little freaked out too. But beyond the emotional reaction, there's the spiritual reaction. All throughout Scripture, whenever people encountered the holy or divine, we've been told many times they were afraid. Those experiences of fear and the presence of God go all the way back to the original experience of fear in Genesis chapter 3. when Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When they did, they saw that they were naked, and they hid from God because they were afraid. Ever since that day, we humans have been wrestling with a desire to know and be known by God in a deep and personal way. And yet at the same time, we're terrified. If God saw who we truly are, what might God think of us? Perhaps you're feeling some of those mixed emotions tonight, wondering, do I dare risk believing once again? Do I dare to believe that there is good news and that it is truly good? In Scripture, whenever people encountered the holy or divine and were afraid, they were told, do not be afraid. Those were the angels' first words to Zechariah and to Mary and now to the shepherds. We've been talking about this command, do not be afraid, in Sunday worship the past 3 weeks. What we haven't said yet is that the command, do not be afraid, is of course much more easily said than done. So what do we do? The answer comes not in doing, but in seeing. The angel's opening line to the shepherds didn't stop with, do not be afraid. The angel continued, do not be afraid, for see. See what God sees. The shepherds looked up and saw a multitude of the heavenly hosts shining God's glory in the highest. God, on the other hand, looked down and shined God's glory on the lowest. While we're looking up to the heavens and marveling at God's light tonight, God's looking at and marveling at us, saying, I do know who you truly are. You are my child. You are loved. You belong. You are more precious and valuable than anything you could ever imagine because you're mine. What is this good news of great joy the angels call us to see? A child has been born for us, a Savior given to us. Jesus left the glory of the highest heaven to come and show his glory to the lowest on earth, including you and me. If you want to overcome your fear of rejection and failure and be filled with his love, if you want to experience forgiveness and the freedom of no longer having to be your own Savior, then look to the manger. See the God who loved you so much that he sent his son for you. See his love for you and then let what you see compel you to do. That's what the shepherds did. When they heard the angels and saw God's glory shining around them, they didn't form a committee in good Presbyterian fashion and say, okay, you be in charge of navigation. You be in charge of food, the good stuff, don't go cheap this time, and we'll meet back up in a week and we'll figure out a plan. They said, let's go now. Just like when we have some good news, we can't wait to pick up our phone and text someone, they couldn't wait to get to Bethlehem, to see what was in the manger and to make known what God had told them. But they didn't stop there. They turned right back around, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard. And there ends scene two. But the story doesn't end there. The shepherds have done their part. Now it's our turn to take the stage. What will the world see in the next scene? It all depends on what we see tonight. It can be tempting to listen to the music, look at all the pretty lights and decorations, be reminded of God's glory in the highest, and leave here simply thinking, wasn't that beautiful? God's glory isn't just something to admire. It's not the end itself, but a means to an end. Much like when you walk into a room and turn on a lamp, you don't stand there staring at the lamp thinking, what a nice lamp. The lights in the choir loft. When we walk in, we don't notice the lights. We notice the choir because of the lights. Or later when we're singing by candlelight, yes, notice the pretty candles, but also notice what the candles do. They allow us to see the faces of all of our sisters and brothers that surround us. The purpose of a lamp is not to call attention to itself. The purpose of a lamp is to shine light on everything around it, to expose dark corners, to give warmth, and to help others see more clearly. That's a light's purpose. Tonight we celebrate that God has given us the light of the world. But a gift is only a gift if it is received and used. And a light is only a light if it's used for its purpose. We're not just supposed to stay here looking up at the light. We're called to look out at the world and shine that light on others. Just as God's glory in the highest gave glory to the lowest some 2,000 years ago, we're now called to share the good news of God's light by doing those very same things a lamp does. Exposing the darkness of this world, revealing the truth, providing warmth and comfort to those in need, helping others to find their way safely home. What are those circumstances and relationships God has given you to glorify Him? Don't settle for the obvious or easy ones. Look for good news where you least expect it. If you don't see the good news, then maybe that's where God is calling you to be the good news. And if you're still struggling to believe there is good news to be seen and that it is indeed good, then get up anyway. Go and see and tell. For sometimes in going and seeing and telling the good news to others, we discover the good news for ourselves. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see. See the manger. Behold what God has done and is doing. To the degree that we behold it, grasp it, and treasure and ponder it in our hearts, to that degree all fears will start to diminish, and only God's light will remain." Thanks be to God. Amen.